Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button to Edge God In, more today than yesterday. Our topic today is entitled, Who is Jesus? And why should I care? Who is Jesus and why should I care? Our learning objective today, by the end of today's podcast, is that you would walk away with several gold nuggets, perhaps breadcrumbs of invitation to draw closer to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, based on some specific areas of his character, of his identity, that perhaps have gotten lost in the screams of the world, but yet once remembered, make him very approachable and extremely lovable. When I was thinking about today's podcast, the topic, who is Jesus and why should I care? I thought, wow, that's a big one. Where do I even begin with something like that? Describing who is Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. I could write a dissertation on that one. And as I was doing some research, I came across some incredible information. And as I was reading through some of the information that I was researching, I always like to know, you know, who the source is. And I didn't know the source until I had gone through quite a bit of information. No shocker, the source of the information was Billy Graham. There is a documentary on YouTube that is for free. You can watch it, called Billy Graham, An Extraordinary Journey. If you have not seen this documentary of his life, I highly, highly recommend that you put this on your next viewing list or top viewing list for that matter. It is a extremely moving account of this one man's journey who had one desire that was summed up really in a prayer that he would often say, Billy Graham would say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go and I'll be who you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go and I will be who you want me to be. So I'm going to sum up as much as I can in a half an hour period of time. I'll often say that trying to keep these to a half an hour has been a challenge. So the Holy Spirit's my virtual assistant with this. Just with the setup, Edge God In, our mission here is to champion your human potential in Christ. Please visit us at edgegodin.com. If you have not already done so, subscribe to us. Very easy to do. Go to the app for the podcast and look up Edge God In and subscribe. And then you'll be kept up to date. Every week we post a new podcast, my co-host and I, Dr. Estella Chavu. And we alternate. We've been alternating. I will post one and then she will post one. So when you walk away from today, may the power of the Holy Spirit move your heart closer to Jesus Christ than before you even started listening to this podcast. Let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, help us to know you more intimately today than yesterday. Give us attentiveness of heart and mind and soul, so that what we cover today in today's podcast would be filtered through the lens of the Holy Spirit, who knows exactly what we need and knows exactly where we're at today. Move us to that piece of information that we need to unlock an area within our life that we've been struggling with, perhaps, or have been holding back before the mercy seat of Christ. Give us the grace of stillness and open our ears so that we can hear and respond to the powerful word of God, the word made flesh. You are the word made flesh, Lord. And you are the hound from heaven. You never cease from seeking us out. Give us the ability to hear and respond to your voice, to be able to close the gap in our ability to respond to whatever it is that you're calling us to, so that we can be what you want us to be, what we're created to be in this world. More of you, Lord, less of us, more of you, less of us. Jesus, we want to know you. We want to truly know what it's like to experience that relationship with you. Come into our hearts today in a very profound and intimate way so that we can begin again in areas that perhaps we've been hijacked in. Help us to have the ability to sense, to notice, to be aware of your voice over any other voice in the world that's clamoring for our attention. Because we know with you, all things are possible. We lack nothing. You are the vine. We are the branch. We're told when we remain in you, with you, through you, that we'll bear much fruit in this world. Help us to let go of those shiny objects, those rings that we cling to in the cave, thinking that they will give us what the flesh desires, to be seen, acknowledged, and recognized, not knowing and remembering what our soul always knows. We are adored by you. In you, we lack nothing. May your love be all we seek. Truly, it's all we need for success, for peace, for identity. In your most precious name, we pray. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's jump in. Who is Jesus and why should I care? Why should we even care? There is so much information out there. One of two books I highly recommend, if you're on the side more of the evidence side, like a Thomas, so to speak. I will not believe unless I stick my fingers in the holes of your hands and in your side. Thomas, sweet Thomas, who basically gives us all the opportunity to take a look at the doubting Thomas that bumps around within us every day. Do we really think God's going to handle it? Do we really think God's in charge? Do we really think that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is walking closely with us, overcoming all that we feel has overcome us? We all have those Thomas moments. Thomas had to see Christ with his eyes. Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who believe and do not see." That's us. That's us. So who is this Jesus? Who is this one most influential lives in history? Who is this person? And what is the work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? First and foremost, and if you have a pen, these are a few key areas to contemplate today that perhaps your flesh has overlooked as a result of being hijacked by things of the world. So perhaps remembering what your soul knows and remembering these truths about who Jesus is will ignite that curiosity to draw you closer. You give Jesus just a small little mustard seed of faith, and he gives you the world. He resurrects your identity from being lost to being found, for being in the shadows to being in the light, for being unforgiven to being forgiven. He has literally split the veil between this life and the life to come so that we can enter with boldness into the presence of God. So the first thing that we're going to look at a little bit closer is the fact that Jesus Christ is God. What does that mean? It is an explanation for everything that he did when he walked this earth. He was before with the Father, before he even came down on earth. Scriptures tell us that he was with the Father in John 1, 2 through 3. The Word was God, with God in the beginning. All things were created by him. Apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. This is John 1, 2, and 3. This, the Word became flesh. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made. So John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's how confident he was in Jesus' love for him. He referred to himself throughout the Gospel of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how much he knew, how much God adored him. Jesus Christ is God. In John 17:5, he says, "And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created." So here we have testimony from John, who walked with Christ, but then we have testimony from the lips of Christ himself. John 17:5, when he says, "Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world began." And then Paul speaks about it in Colossians 1:17. He himself is before all things, and all things are held together in him, referring to Jesus Christ. So these are all testimonies. This is all firsthand testimony and coming from Christ himself, that he claimed to be God. He's the Son of God. He's with God. He was with God since the beginning. This relationship with the Father happened before he even came down to earth. And he's the Son of God, right? So he was with God since the beginning, before the creation of the world, and he's the Son of God. His enemies even admitted that he is the Son of God. He said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. In John 5:18, it says, "For this reason, the Jewish leaders were trying even harder to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his Father, his own Father, thus making himself equal with God." Even at the crucifixion, his enemies, people that were witnessing this, was, "Surely this is the Son of God." So there's plenty of testimony of not only Jesus saying it, but people that are following him and witnessing to it. Peter confessed, "And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God," in John 6:19. Jesus affirmed in John 10:30, "The Father and I are one." So again, he is the Son of God. He is with the Father. He came to make God recognizable as his Son. Third thing about Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ, he was with God before the creation of the world. He's the Son of God, and he was sinless. Jesus challenged his enemies at the end and throughout, "Who among you can prove me guilty of any sin? If I'm telling you the truth, then why don't you believe me?" Peter testified, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps." Peter was testifying in the book that Peter actually wrote this book. This is the disciple that walked with Jesus. This is Peter. In 1 Peter 2:21-22, Peter says, "Christ suffered for all of us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Who did no sin," there was no sin, "that was, or no guile found on his mouth. For to this you were called, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found on his mouth." Paul, who encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, so here's another firsthand account, says in 2 Corinthians, as he was writing to the Corinthians, he says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he mentioned, "God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God." Jesus was the ultimate atoning sacrifice. I learned something cool this week as well. During the Passover, where Passover came from, even going earlier than the Passover celebration, it came from the Israelites on the final plague of taking the life of the oldest son. And they were told by Moses, through God spoke through Moses to the people, through the Israelites, and said, "Take an unblemished lamb that you are connected with, actually sacrifice the lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorstep, put it above your doorstep, so the angel of death will pass over." This is Passover. Now, when God spoke to Moses and asked them to do this, it's mentioned that he uses this hyssop branch. He dipped the blood of the lamb. They were told to dip the blood of the lamb and put it above their doorstep, which was an indication that the angel of death would pass by them. And the angel of death did, because the Israelites followed the commands of God through Moses. Now you flip forward, Passover has been celebrated ever since then. And it's a beautiful celebration with many cups that are drunk at the celebration of Passover. Now Jesus is in having the Last Supper. We all know of the Last Supper. And he's with his disciples. And there is the final cup, actually, that Jesus does not drink, if you look closely in the scriptures. The final cup is lifted up, and the phrase is used, it is finished, meaning the sacrifice is complete. Well, Jesus didn't drink of the last cup. And on the cross, when he's on the cross, until he was on the cross, and before he died, he said the same phrase used in Passover, it is finished. He is the ultimate cup needed for salvation to enter the world. Also at that time, when Jesus was on the cross, guess what kind of branch was used? A hyssop branch. The hyssop branch was used to lift up to Jesus' mouth after he said, I thirst, thirsting for God, right? But they put the bitter drink on a sponge and lift it up in a hyssop, with a hyssop branch to lift it to Jesus' lips. The Lamb of God, right? A hyssop branch used again. The typology from the Old Testament to the New Testament, meaning how the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, is so powerful. It gives you a fuller model of oh my gosh, who is Jesus? Jesus has been here with us before the creation of the world. He has been part of this whole journey. The sacrifices of the sacrificial lamb was offered for the ultimate sacrifice of sin, right? The blood was used. The angel of death passed over. Now Christ is risen up on the cross. He dies. He's the ultimate Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They used the same hyssop branch. He said the same phrase at the last, for the last cup lifted at the final Passover meal, that he didn't drink with his disciples. He did not drink. He waited till he was on the cross, and then he completed that Passover celebration because he was the ultimate lamb. And he said, it is finished. Once and for all, it is finished. He was sinless. He became, so as with Adam, sin came into the world, so with one man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, life for all who believe came into this world. So he forgives sins. Jesus forgives our sins. As was said in Mark 2:7, why does this man speak this way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then in Matthew 9:6, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, stand up, take up your stretcher and go home. Jesus wanted them to know. He shared this information that he has authority to forgive sins on earth. No longer was there a blood sacrifice needed. He was the ultimate sacrifice. John 8:11. She replied, no one, Lord, to the woman caught in adultery. Is there anyone here to condemn you? No, no one, sir, Lord. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and do not sin anymore. So he's freeing. He's showing the example throughout all the Gospels of freeing people from their sin. How many times does Jesus say, pick up your mat and go? Go, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven again and again through all four Gospels, all accounts of Jesus Christ of Nazareth as he forgives sins. Peter wrote in 1 Peter again, 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may cease from sinning and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? He has been with God since the beginning of creation, before creation. He is the Son of the living God, came down to heaven, from heaven to earth, forgives our sins. He is faithful. He is compassionate. He is loving. This is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who beckons you closer today to his heart, to know him, to walk with him. Who is Jesus? He was a miracle worker. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. Matthew 8, 9 through 13. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and come, and he comes. And I say, do this, and he does that. This was the centurion that was saying, hey, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. I know your power because I'm a man of power. And Jesus commended him for his faith. Jesus said, he was astonished. I haven't seen faith like this yet. He stopped him in his tracks. And Jesus heard and he was amazed. And he said, I tell you the truth, I have not found faith in anyone in Israel. Many will come to the east and the west to share in the banquet. But the one who is small in his own eyes and has big faith, that is the one that Jesus is drawn to. He went after the people that were lost and sick, mentally, physically, emotionally. He went down to Capernaum. On the Sabbath, he began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teachings because he spoke with authority. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a voice, leave us alone, Jesus the Nazarene. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Even the demons are declaring at that time, you are the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, silence, come out of him. Then after the demon threw the man to the ground in their midst, he came out of him without hurting him. They were all amazed and began to say to one another, what's happening here? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Who is this Jesus? Can you imagine witnessing this? So the news about him spread like wildfire throughout the whole region. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. Jesus went over to her and healed her of the fever, commanded the fever to leave. Immediately she got up and began serving them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any relatives sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He placed his hands on every one of them and healed them. Demons also came out of many crying, you are the Son of God. Again, a declaration. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. Even the demons know that and shudder. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. The next morning, Jesus departed into a deserted place, yet the crowds kept seeking him. This is Jesus of Nazareth. Who is Jesus? He was magnetic. People sought him out. He had what they wanted. To know that God adored them, forgave their sins, and had a plan for their life. Jesus was the ultimate Lamb of God. But Jesus said to them, I proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns too, for this is what I was sent for. Jesus, they wanted him to stay, but yet he knew why he was there. He had to preach the good news of the gospel. There was a man with leprosy in Luke. Luke is the physician. So there if you're interested in the miracles of Jesus, read through the Gospel of Luke, because miracle after miracle after miracle. Luke was fascinated about the documented miracles that Jesus did. He was a miracle worker. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. An example of that is Luke 7:11 through 18. He approached a town gate. A man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her. Who is Jesus? Jesus is compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched her, and those who carried out, she was weeping over the loss of her only son. And the coffin bearer stopped, and he said to the man in the coffin who was dead, physically speaking, young man, I say to you, get up. So the dead man sat up and began to speak. Can you imagine? Have you ever been to a funeral? You know what that feels like when the spirit leaves the body. The person's no longer there. I've been to plenty in my life. It's a testimony to the power of the Spirit of God within mankind, which is why I often refer to this as our earth suit. One heartbeat stops here and it starts there. Fear seized them all. Of course it did. Have you ever seen a dead person raised from a coffin? Put yourself in that position. Jesus Christ is a miracle worker. Then he became man. This is another important part to know about Jesus. Not only was he a miracle worker, but he came down in a baby, in the form of a baby, through Mary's yes, Lord, may it be done to me according to your will. May that be our prayer daily. May it be done to me according to your will. Even though it didn't make any sense to Mary at the time, and she could have been stoned to death, she gave more authority to the strength of God and the word of God she was hearing in the witness of the angel that came to her, Gabriel, than she did to her fear. Jesus Christ became man. When I studied Western and Eastern religions, the one thing that I walked away from both of those areas of study was that out of all of the religions out there, Christianity, relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is the one where God comes down to man. All of the other ones, it's man reaching up to God with various protocol and processes and ceremonies. To know Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he came down to man. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that those who believe in him will have everlasting life. God came down through Christ. Jesus Christ became man. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word, Jesus is known as the word of God. He came down to us. Can you imagine that? The word became flesh, leaving heaven and coming down here. That is love in action, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That is love in action. Now the word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. John 1:14. In Philippians, Paul writes to Philippi, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus Christ became man. His miraculous birth was prophesied 800 years before his coming. In Isaiah 7:14, for this reason, the Lord himself will give you a confirming sign. Look, this young woman is about to conceive, and you will give birth to a son. You, young woman, will name him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14, 800 years earlier, his birth was prophesied. The prophecy was fulfilled later. Fear not, Mary, when Gabriel came to Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive within your womb. You will be pregnant and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. So Jesus became man. He demonstrated human characteristics. Jesus was tired. He was thirsty. He ate food. He showed feelings. Mark 6:34, as Jesus came ashore, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. Jesus is compassion. He adores you. As does God. Jesus wept. John 11:35. He ate food. He thirsted. Jesus said in John 19:28, he realized that by this time everything was completed in order to fulfill the scriptures. And he cries out, I am thirsty. That's when they took the hyssop branch, dipped it in the bitter gall, lifted it up to his lips for something to drink. And he was the last cup needed, the great LL. He was the last cup needed to rip open the veil of eternal life for you, for me. He is not unfamiliar with suffering, but he is compassionate, which is why he draws near to the widow, to the orphan, to those who are suffering in any way. With every storm Jesus comes to, Jesus is compassionate. He was human. He understood all of our emotions. So you can approach him with confidence. He knows how you're feeling today. Jesus accomplished the works of his Father. He died on the cross. This is the fundamental theme of the entire Gospels. The fact of his death, 1/4 of the Gospels are dedicated to his passion and resurrection. For this purpose, he came into the world. His passion and his resurrection. John 12:27, now my soul is greatly distressed. And what should I say? This is when he's praying. We're coming up on Easter here. This is when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, deliver me from this hour. No, but for this very reason, I've come to this hour. Perhaps you can identify with that. Lord, I want your will to be done, but no, I really want this thing to turn out. Jesus knows that dynamic. And he also can give you the strength to choose God's will, even when it's difficult. His death was prophesied, as we said, 800 years before he even came, again in Isaiah 53:3-8. He was despised and rejected by people, one who experienced pain and was acquainted with illness. People hid their faces from him. He was despised and they considered him insignificant, but he lifted up our illnesses. He carried our pain. Even though we thought he was being punished, attacked by God, and afflicted. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is very familiar with pain and suffering. Even though we thought he was being punished, attacked by God, and afflicted for something he had not done, he didn't even do this, he was wounded because of our rebellious deeds, crushed because of our sins. He endured punishment that made us well because of his wounds were healed. Again, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Paul says, by his wounds were healed. All of us have wandered off like sheep, each of us going astray to his own path, but the Lord caused the sin of all of us to attack him. He was treated harshly and afflicted, but he did not even open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter block, like a sheep silent, before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. This is so powerful, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe personally that not opening your mouth when you are unjustly accused is probably one of the hardest things to resist, to want to justify yourself. Jesus Christ did not open his mouth because he knew that God's plan was greater than his persecutors. So he trusted everything to the Father. He was cut off from the land of the living, of his own people, his own friends, family, turned their back on Christ. And yet he kept his eyes fixed on the whole purpose. The purpose for which he came was our salvation. Jesus Christ accomplished the works of the Father. What's the meaning of his death? Why did he die? What was the purpose of that? Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, he came to be the sacrificial lamb. One more sacrifice needed. That's it. No more sacrifices needed. Romans 3:24. But they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18. You know that from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, you were ransomed, not by perishable things like silver or gold, but by the blood of Christ. He was a ransom for our sin. He paid the penalty for our sins. Man is the object of God's wrath because of rebellion and sin. But God took the initiative in satisfying his wrath by sending his only Son to Calvary, offering us reconciliation, ending the enmity between us and God. We are restored to God through Christ. He died in our place. In summary, he took our place on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might cease from sinning and live by righteousness. By his wounds we're healed. Hebrews 9:26, for then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But now he has appeared once and for all, the consummation of the ages, to put away sin by his sacrifice, one sacrifice needed to open up eternity for us. Hebrews 10:12. But when this priest had offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's Jesus Christ. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. That's who Jesus is. Jesus Christ of Nazareth came to rescue us, to save us, to be the bridge, to be the answer to Adam and Eve when they took a bite of the apple. Sin entered the world. So did death. When Christ came and died on the tree, tree is involved both times. This time it became a tree of life and became our salvation, the reality of the resurrection. He was resurrected. This is the key part, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. There are two books if you question the resurrection. One of them is called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and the other one is called Case for Christ. Case for Christ, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Two powerful books written by two atheists that went out to disprove the resurrection, and as a result became a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I read Evidence That Demands a Verdict when I first accepted Christ when I was 17. Blew my mind away because I had to make a decision because the evidence was so clear. Who is Jesus? Oh my gosh, he's the Son of God. He came to win me over, to win me back into fellowship. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's how much God adores you. That's what drew me in. When I was 17, I was living for the world, for the worldly ways in Long Island. And my parents took me to a Christian ranch in Colorado. And I was drawn to these people and wanted what they had. They've invited me to a Bible study one evening, and they read out of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, about Jesus being the vine and we're the branch, and his love for us and how he desires our joy, just his kindness. And I was moved to know him. And that night I hit my knees and I said, Lord, I want what they have. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. And from that moment on, my life was changed dramatically. I actually fell pretty hard for a guy. God uses all available resources to reach us. And I was so boy crazy in high school. He sent me a Christian man who I just fell head over heels with. And he loved God and he prayed. And he would say to me often, if it weren't for my relationship with God, I would rise and fall depending upon how this world judged me at that time. I've passed along that statement my whole life. I knew him and truly grew to love him over a year before he was in a car accident and killed. And I had a choice point there because he was such a model and example of Christ to me. I was really leaning on him for my own faith. And when he died and went to be with Jesus, I had a choice point to be bitter, to step away from my relationship with Christ, or to lean into the one who even allowed me to have that experience of joy and love in my life, the source of all joy and love. I chose Christ, and I still choose Christ. I invite you to do the same today. Lean in to this gift that God has given us. Who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? He died, suffered, died, was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, from the grave, in fulfillment of the scriptures, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was resurrected from the dead, the reality of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, no shocker here, because Jesus loves sinners. He was drawn to sinners because he knew that they were at a vulnerable point. and would be open to receiving that forgiveness, because nobody likes to be in sin. I'm 53 years old. I've never met anyone that's like, oh, I love being in the darkness and in the shadow, unless they've been completely hijacked and they're serving wickedness, serving the devil. There is a church of Satan. But people that are seeking God and stumble along the way, it's not a fun place to be. It's dark. It's heavy. Jesus desires to set us free. He came to seek and save the lost. Early in the morning in John 20, 1 through 10, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, it was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been rolled away. So she went up running and told the other disciples that she loved. They've taken the Lord, and they went running down to see where they've taken her. In the other account of where in the gospel, it says that she asked an angel, where have you laid him, sir? The gardener, that was actually an angel, that I may go find him. She actually thought that Jesus was the gardener. She didn't know that it was Jesus until Jesus said, Mary, said her name. And then all of a sudden the veil was lifted and she saw the risen Lord, the risen Christ. Jesus was risen from the grave. First day of the week at dawn, taking the spices, they went down. The women saw the body of Christ was gone. They were perplexed. Suddenly two men stood beside them in dazzling attire. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's a good question to think about. Why are you looking for the things that your soul really seeks in a world that pursues death, rather than going to the master of life, Jesus Christ? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's been raised from the dead. And then the angels go on to say, so that you may know that the Son of Man must be delivered into sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rose from the dead. Account after account after account. Luke 23, 55. John 20, 1, 2, 11 through 14. Peter and the other disciples, they encountered Christ as well, went running to the tomb. Numerous accounts of the risen Christ. Testimony, first eyewitness testimony. Again, if you're questioning this, this is a great challenge. Go get that book, Case for Christ. It's the evidence that supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I kind of have a scientific heart and a scientific mind, heart after God. And that's why that book fell in my lap when at such a young age. Jesus throws you what you need. So if you need that extra evidence, if you got a little Doubting Thomas in you, go get that book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Or you can get Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. There's also a movie made out of that. But read the book first, Case for Christ. The results of the work, and I'll end with this. This is the results of Jesus' work. He ascended to the Father. He is our eternal mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one intermediator between God and humanity, Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews 8:6. But now Jesus has obtained a superior ministry, since the covenant that he mediates is also better and is enacted on better promises. Basically, Jesus stands in the gap for us, my brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 2:1, the disciple that walked with Jesus and that Jesus loved, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's our advocate. Who is Jesus? He's our advocate. Who is Jesus? The compassionate one, the good shepherd that will come and track you down because he adores you. He's our savior. He's the savior of the world. She will give birth, Matthew 1:21, and you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God exalted him at the right hand to be the prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Acts 5:31. It's a good one to lean into. God exalted Jesus Christ to the right hand as a leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. He's our savior. He is complete. in his ability to save us. There's no like lack in his ability to save us once and for all. He's able to completely, completely save those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for you. Come back. Come back, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The world has been screaming very loudly lately. Listen to the whisper of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He adores you. He died for you. He's your personal savior. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Come follow me. And with him, you will change the world. It starts with you. It's that personal conversion, just like Paul experienced. When he saw Jesus, he fell flat to his face, and he was never the same again. I really identify with Paul's conversion, because I've mentioned this before, but I used to curse like a sailor. I was raised in Long Island, and like the F-bomb is a adjective. And after I got on my knees that one night, I kid you not, there were some things that just were cleaned out immediately. One of them was cursing. I didn't say the F-bomb since then. And it's not because I was like, oh, I can't say the F-bomb. I just didn't have a desire. It was gone, totally gone. And I had an increased desire to love and to support and to serve people around me. I was so absorbed with self, me, myself, and I. And when I started walking close with Jesus, I realized, oh, maybe I should help my mom with the dishes. Maybe this is a good thing. I'm moved to do it, not should, because that has to do with guilt. But I was actually moved to want to do good works. And I got so much joy out of it, because our greatest sense of joy comes in the measure through which we serve. Jesus will return again, we're told. This Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're told in John 14:3, if I go and make a place for you, I'll come back and take you with me, so that you can be where I am at. That's Jesus' words. In Hebrews 10:37, for just a little longer, and he who is coming will arrive and not delay. This is after his resurrection. He's coming again, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you ready? Acts 1:11. He said, and this is when Jesus was lifted up and an angel came down and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up to the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go to heaven. Jesus Christ will come again. And we're also promised that we will have a resurrected body. We know what happens to the body when it dies. We'll have a resurrected body. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:51-58. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now then, this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality. Then we can say, death is swallowed up by victory. Jesus will reign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelations 22:3-5. And there will be no longer any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Night will be no more, and they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever. Jesus says in Revelations, behold, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. Who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? He's your life. He's your love. He's your way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come follow me. Come follow me. So why should we care? Why should we care who Jesus was? Is this just a casual conversation? No, this is a conversation of life and death. Blessings and curses. Choose life. Who is life? What is life? Jesus Christ of Nazareth is life. That you may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. That's why it matters, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a conversation of death and life. Choose life that you may live. Make your prayer even more personal after today. Lord, I really want to remember who you are in my life and for me. I don't want to be the same anymore. I am rising and falling depending upon how the world judges me. I quickly get hijacked by shiny objects. I ruminate over things. I take offense. I judge people. I'm rude sometimes. I'm self-focused and self-centered. I get irritated when people don't understand me. Save me, Lord. Savior of the world, by your cross and resurrection, you have set me free. I choose you, Lord. I choose you. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the Holy Lamb of God. Take away my sin. Just as they did at Passover, by your blood, by your stripes, I've been healed. Lord, I want to believe that. Help my unbelief. And help me to encounter you more personally than ever before. I believe, Jesus. I'm willing to explore believing that you are the Son of the living God and you have come to save my soul. Draw me closer today than yesterday. Take me into relationship and show me what that looks like. As we end, I want to share a small poem that truly impacted my life a long time ago. It used to be an unknown poem, and now it's attributed to James Allen Francis. It's entitled One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, he is the central figure of the human race. I am well within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched, all of the navies that ever sailed, all of the parliaments that ever sat, all of the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll be who you want me to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a podcast that perhaps you might want to re-listen to when you're in a place to take notes, pray on, sit within the presence of who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth and why should I care? So why should you care today in your own words? Based on what you learned today about who Jesus is, why should you care? What difference will it make for you? If you're confused, ask the Holy Spirit. I don't know what difference it would make for me, Lord, but you know what? I want to know you. So show me what that's going to be like. Come as you are. Jesus adores you. absolutely adores you right where you're at, as does God. For God so loved the world, he gave Jesus Christ of Nazareth, became man, to walk with you in a personal relationship. Lean in, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This one choice to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth will change your life. Visit us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts, more topics. Our goal is to champion your human potential in Christ. Thank you for leaning in today, and may the power of the Holy Spirit guide you in your relationship with Jesus as you draw closer today than yesterday. Enjoy your gift of life and give him heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on.